When you're walking through a town or city, what do you notice? Shops, cafes, schools, churches? With the busyness of people walking alongside and past you, and the noise of traffic, how often do you stop to take a proper look at the buildings we see every day? It's worth doing because you may discover some delicious hidden pieces of history. In the same way that Ireland is full of fabulous ghost signs, signage for businesses, public buildings, and industries long since forgotten, so too are hints and clues into our past attitudes towards sexuality. So let's talk about one of them. And today on Our Sexual History, we have comedian, voice actor person, YouTube person, Davey Riley.
Hello.
Is there anything I missed?
No, I've never had voiceover person thrown in, but I literally just told you about some voiceover work I did, so that makes sense. No, that's all sufficient. Thank you.
Okay.
Podcaster?
Podcaster, yeah. There we go.
For various other things.
Cool.
Yeah.
Avid donut eater.
That was such a good donut.
I like to treat my guests to donuts because we have Offbeat Donuts just across the street from where we're recording. So today we're going to be talking about Sheila Nagig.
Yeah.
Who is Sheila Nagig? Or what is Sheila Nagig?
The general consensus seems to be nobody really knows. And I really love that this is something that's existed for hundreds of years and people don't have a solid idea of what it is. They are grotesques that are often found in churches or castles of women. This, the Catholicism in me is now really gonna
put the kibosh
on my way. On my way into this, I was like, "Yeah, this will be okay." I was like, "You're gonna have to say words you never say out loud to people ever." I'm like, "Oh God, no, okay." So, is a grotesque who's a lady who is pulling apart her vagina, or exaggerated vulva, and with legs sort of splayed, and they're often found over doorways or carved into things, and people don't know 100% why, what they are. There's so many different theories on what they are, and I that's what I really like about them.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us about some of the cool theories about where she came from?
Well, the name. No one has a clue what the name means.
Yeah.
So I have Sheila Nagig is one of the things that they think it comes from, which would mean Julia of the Breasts, which I think is a nice, awkward phrase. But she never, they never really include breasts in the carvings. It's very Yannick-focused carvings. The conflicting reports are that they're like to ward off spirits and like as a sign of fertility. But then people are like, oh, but the church would have put them there to be like, look at women are evil.
Yeah.
So it seems to be a case of cultural reappropriation on the part of the church, as they are wont to do, of being like, oh, this thing that you guys are real fond of, we're going to take it and use it for our own thing, but we're going to put a spin on it. So I think it was a pagan, like, fertility symbol or, like, warding off evil. And then the church just were like, nah, that's a bad thing.
Or was it a bad thing? Or do you think maybe, because I know, like, a lot of the, like, monks and stuff back in the day were trying to encourage people to convert to Christianity. Maybe that, like,
hey, we're the sexy religion.
We're the sexy religion. We've got this
come
lady who clearly doesn't give a fuck and is pulling her vulva apart.
Yeah.
Because if you notice, like, a lot of church doorways are very kind of vulva shaped.
Yeah, little.
So maybe, I don't know. What do you hope is the meaning behind it?
Well, all I can think about now is the next funeral I go to, I'm going to be just very distracted.
Looking for Sheila's.
Look at that sexy door. it's like a George O'Keefe painting. What I hope it is that it originated as a warding off evil thing, because it's kind of like, look at this. This is where the power is.
Yeah.
Get, you know, Satan, get behind me kind of thing. I really like that. You see it in other cultures as well, where women and in particularly like the vagina is held as like, because it's the life giver. So I love that they're like, oh, how nerdy do I want to get with this?
Super nerdy.
Okay, it's kind of like in Power Rangers when they're like, oh, we're losing here. And then they're like, okay, we need to get our Zords. And the Zords are going to lose. And they're like, okay, we need to get Megazord. And then they'll form. And they're like, this isn't even doing it. And then like the White Rangers, his Zord will come and they'll do their back-to-back, rarely seen, where they double morph up, where the Eagle will come in. And you're like, boom, that's it. Like, that's the ultimate power. So it's kind of like that. It's kind of like the Super Megazord. They're like, oh, there's so much evil and nothing is doing it. Like, don't worry, guys, I got it. Lift skirt.
That, evil I think, goes. Is going to be my new nickname for my downstairs lady bonanza, even though that's a nickname. I'll just call it the Super Megazord. The downstairs Super Megazord.
Lady Bonanza.
Lady Bonanza.
Sounds like a raffle prize. Oh yeah, this was the when I was researching this. This is what I really like. So the word gig in Northern England in old-timey times was like slang for vagina.
Was
it? It was like, so Sheila in a gig would be like...
She loved the vagina?
Yeah, kind of, right? Now this is where I really like it. The modern Irish slang... of G-I-G-H, which would come from, would be similar to gig, but would be pronounced gee.
Yeah.
So I think that's where gee comes from.
Oh, yes. Oh my God.
Right?
Okay. Yes. That sounds, is it an etymologist that does the origins of words?
This is, yeah, Barbara Freytag, who did a book called Sheila na Gigs, Unraveling the Enigma.
Yeah.
I would have gone with pulling apart the enigma. But she has a chapter devoted to the etymology of Sheila na Gig, and in it she's like, oh, there's all these things. But then finds that gig was a Northern English slang and is very similar to the Irish slang of gig.
That's
which
amazing.
Is G-I-G-H, which I presume, I mean, this isn't, she then doesn't go, and then people say gee now, but yeah. I'm presuming that that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
And I really love that. I'm like, oh, wow, okay. we can kind of figure out where gee came from, because I have wondered that for ages. Like,
yeah,
where...
that's something. When I first moved here 12 years ago, I loved Irish slang so much because it was just so ridiculous and so different to what I was used to. And just gee, it sounds like something that should be so innocent. Like, it just sounds like a very innocent word, but like used in context, it's like
it's so good. Last year. Not to go off on a tangent, last year at the Vodafone Comedy Festival, oh, it was last year, could be 2 years ago, it was 2 years ago, Nick Kroll was talking about his karate gi, and the crowd lost it. He's like, oh, it was just, and he didn't know why.
Did
and
someone tell him?
Someone explained it to him after the show, and then the next night, he got to that point, he's like, my karate gi, but because he said it kind of knowingly, nobody laughed.
Yeah.
They were like, nah, we know you know, it's only funny when you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we started, you showed me a photograph, which we'll put up on the in the show notes.
I'll get the word first.
Yeah. But just explain the photograph first of all.
It is a photograph. It's a plate sketching from 1700s. La Fontaine is the name of it. I can't remember the name of the artist. And it is a lady who, as I'm looking at the photo, has very small feet. Look at those little feet.
She has very small feet, but I can't tell if it's just she has small feet or she has like nice meaty thighs.
I was gonna say unreal thighs, but yeah let's just go nice meaty thighs rather than like, look at those thighs. Should explain what's happening in this photo. She's in some sort of barn or else just old timey house, and there is a devil there. He's got wings and like goat feet. And she's lifting up her skirt to show him her vagina, and he is just recoiling in horror.
Or just very surprised, like he's never seen one before.
Oh, I think he's terrified looking.
Yeah. Like,
that is a... I can relate to that face of like, oh my God, what is this? I'm out of my depth. It was a relatable teenage face. But she just has this great smug look.
Yeah.
Of a real like, what are you going to do now, pal? Like that was her... you got nothing. Like, that's her trump card.
So there's like two ways that you can read this this illustration.
Yeah,
it's either she's got all the power in this situation. Mm-hmm. In that, like, vaginas are so awesome that they ward off evil.
Yeah.
Or that they're so scary that they would scare...
Even the devil.
That even the devil is, like, scared of them.
Have you seen Teeth?
No, I haven't seen Teeth.
Watched it on Halloween a few years ago. It's, yep. A couple of teenage boys watching that, you're like, oh, this is terrifying.
So that's what it is.
Yeah. You're like, oh, no. So that, the lifting up of the skirt, there's a phrase for it. I'm just trying to find it now. While I'm looking for it, I will mention that Sheila na gigs aren't necessarily always female. In Ireland, however, they just seem to be female.
Okay.
Across Spain and South France, where they seem to have originated, there's more phallic ones and some that are a little more bestial. And the fact that those kinds haven't made it to Ireland, or never haven't, as if they're going to next year, they're next year's burritos, like they're the thing we're gonna latch onto. That seems to confuse people as well as to why only the female representation have made it to Ireland.
Yeah.
Ireland has 101 known ones, and it's the most in the world, most surviving ones. It's like 30 or something in England.
So, do you think that's because we were like particularly slutty and they really needed to ward off like our sins? They're like, the Normans came over and they're just like, Jesus, these people are riding all over the place.
See, this is the thing. They're almost exclusively found in Anglo-Norman areas in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And in traditional Irish, or like, say, I don't know what the word would be. I don't want to say ethnic Irish, but like whatever not Anglo-Norman settled areas where they're less... often found. So as a result of that, people think that they may have come with the Anglo-Normans from France and Spain. Another theory that people who do the Santiago, the Compostela, the Camino, would have seen them while doing that pilgrimage, and then as they were just walking back would have just started doing it, like just I don't know. I think it was like, I don't want to say it was the original drawing of cock and balls on things, because people have been drawing cock and balls on things since like Pompeii beforehand.
Yeah.
But I think just the theory of people just saw them, like, oh, that's a cool thing to do and bring it home. It's like when you see someone on like...
Like a souvenir almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or you see someone on like, I don't want to say cribs, but like extreme makeover, like changing rooms. And it's like, oh, Michelle spent her summers in Spain as a kid, so her sitting room has a Spanish flair, and it's just a bunch of Sheila na gig wallpaper all over the place.
Extreme makeover, church edition.
Oh my God, that was so good. See, I can't even think myself why the, not that I should know better than these experts, but why the male and bestial forms didn't make it over this far. I'd also be curious to know how much the church, when they were sort of setting up, if they saw someone were like, destroy them, like what their attitude was, because they found some that are like sideways or upside down.
Yeah.
And they just seem to be repurposed bricks.
Yeah.
So there is like we should destroy it, but that's a pretty good rock that's already been cut out, so just build with this.
You don't want to waste the stone.
Exactly,
It's local stone.
There's
like,
a good Q-tourism still to
it. Yeah. Can I tell you about my favorite example of Sheila na gig?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's one in Crumlin.
What?
There's one in Crumlin in a church that isn't an ancient one. It was one that was done actually quite recently, because there was a bunch of lads on a FOSS course who were restoring like a church in Crumlin, and so they just like carved a Sheila na gig into the church they were restoring.
Oh my God.
We're going there after the show.
Did they know they were doing it, or were they like...
Like they had to have known. I don't know. It would be really funny though if they just put a sneaky Sheila na gig without telling the church.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So when I was like doing a bit of like Google and Wikipedia research for this episode, I was like looking up like examples of shoeling gigs. I was like, I wonder if there's any like in Dublin. And there's like, oh, there's one in Crumlin. That's one I can easily get to.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, it was like not an original shoeling gig done by some lads on a FOSS course.
I mean, FOSS needs to have been around for forever, so it could have... Good work, Foss. I'm looking up more Sheila Gig things here. I love the faces. That's a thing that I really like in all of them.
She does not give a fuck.
She's so just like, hey. Like, it's kind of like, do you know you see like a stag party in like Temple Bar?
And guys grabbing like, their crotches.
Yeah, or one of them might be like pissing against a wall, but he'd be pissing outwards and he'd be like, hey, I'm caught. Like that, just that stupid like arrogance. Just a cockiness.
She lives on tour.
Yeah, but she's just like, wait, look at my gig. And you're like, yeah, absolutely.
Check out my gig.
Everyone should be worshipping. Yeah, yeah. I like that a lot of them are over doors. Like, I like the, like, some good good symbolism there.
Or she's just like, get in here, lads.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Or ladies.
Yeah. There seems to be Sheila gigs around the world, but they're not called Sheila gigs, but they're just... a very similar shape. It's a lady, legs open, pulling herself, and everyone's like, this is unbelievable. This is a fertility symbol.
Does she have other names?
Yes,
or is it...
she's got loads of names. Sumerian, Babylonian, and Akkadian fertility goddess, and the deification of the female sex organs,
okay.
Called Ninima. And the name comes from the Sumerian word for goddess, Nin, and Ima, which is... water that created everything. So I suppose life-giving.
It's a whole kind of Mother Earth sort of thing.
Yeah. I found this other one called a Dilukai. My Palauan isn't great. So apologies to any listeners over in Palau. And it is this. So it's very similar.
Oh, right? Yes.
So then that comes from... the female figures will protect villagers' health and crops to ward off evil spirits. So very similar. And ritual specialists had to carve them. And if they, oh my god! So sorry. So they're wooden carvings. These aren't stones. So these are sort of wood carvings that were then placed places. But if the rules of the carving weren't adhered to, the carver and the chief of the clan were executed.
What?
Yeah, they were like, you cannot, if you make a mistake while carving this life-giving vulva, we're
Jesus.
Putting you to death.
Taking their artwork very seriously.
Right. But I really like this explanation for what the Dilukai is. It was named after a woman of that name. She was the sister of a man, a troublesome man called Atam Matiuk, who was chased out of the village because he was nothing but trouble, and they didn't want him back, so then they carved these things and put them around because in that culture it was forbidden for a brother to see his sister's genitalia, so as a means to keep him away.
Oh.
They put his sister's genitalia everywhere, which is so extreme. I finally looked up that word. Give that word a crack.
Anacerum? Anacerma? Anacerma? I would say like, yeah.
There's so many turns in the words.
I know. Lots of vowels going on there. And just remind people again like what that is.
It is the gesture of lifting up the skirt or kilt. Great.
There you go.
That there's a word for it. so that would have been what the lady
skirt
is.
Skirt or kilt. So.
Yeah. Like this gentleman.
There you go.
With his prehistoric genitals. It's different to mooning. There's a differentiation between this and mooning. I think it is just purely a front and back situation.
Yeah.
So
what would you call it if you lifted it up like all the way around so it's a moon and an anacerma?
So like if you lifted and then spun.
Yeah. Or is there room to make up a word?
There is, and that's what I was going to do. You can cut out me being like Make me look real quick and sharp and funny. I was going to say like Luna Cinema.
Yeah.
Because it.
Like, would be good. Yeah.
But I wanted to see where the word Anna was coming from. Oh, Anna is up or against, and then Cinema is skirt. So yeah, upskirt. Upskirt though is a different thing.
That is a different thing.
It's creepier.
Yeah.
Do you think
really it's kind of the opposite of like
it's my upskirts are the absolute opposite of like Sheila na Gigs even because it's like this is this thing on a pedestal that is fighting evil as opposed to like we got a picture of your little shame button I don't know that was just I'm never going to say those words again even in other contexts.
I have this idea in my head of the shame button just being like this big red shiny button and when you press it goes kind of like the shame bell in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Which I totally use now when I'm like trying to like shame my friends. I'll just be like, oh, shame bell, bing bong.
Have you got a shame? Oh, you don't actually have a real
bell.
No,
I just my mouth is the shame bell.
I like how you gestured like in an analog bell, like a ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, but you went on bing bong. Like just proto-digital bell. Back to the lady who was showing off her genitals to keep her brother away from the town, right?
Yeah.
This is where I thought that the church could have been repurposing the Sheila na Gigs is because the Christian missionaries in Palau, they hated these carvings.
Okay.
So then they repurposed them to show that women were immoral and that sex was shameful.
So churches are assholes.
Yeah, so there's a precedent of Christian missionaries repurposing these things. So I don't see it as being inconceivable that they did the same here.
Do you think there was a group email sent out that just said, hey lads, like we're taking these and we're going to use them for our own evil reasons now because we're the church?
Yeah, probably. Have you seen Young Pope?
I've seen clips of it.
It's class, right?
It's
super great. It's super Catholic. I love it. I love it so much. It's just, I really like the Vatican. I used to be quite religious until I was like 18. So I just really like the Vatican and the whole mystery around it. You're like, oh, what is going on in there?
Yeah.
Evil.
The,
like it's just
pomp and it's everything. Kind of like the Freemasons as well. Like the
oh yeah. Like I know where the Freemasons Hall in Cavan is and I know when they have meetings and I'm always like, I just want to try to catch somebody going in so I can be like, hey, can I come in?
Have you ever done the tour in Dublin?
No.
It's really That's good.
Near enough here, isn't
it's
it?
It's up on Molesworth Street. Yeah. They do tours during the summer and you can like book your own like private tour if you have like a group of like maybe like 10 or more or something.
It's always really popular on Culture Night. Like it's yeah. The one that like, oh, we should go to this year. It's always so busy.
I've done the tour twice and it's like it's still like just as entertaining. And like the last one I did, there was kids on the tour. There's like maybe 5 kids on the tour and they were asking the best questions. We went into like one room and this kid was just like constantly raising his hands, like to the point where like the tour guide I think was getting like a little annoyed with the kid and the kid was like, excuse me, are you in the Illuminati? And I was just like, yes kid. and the guy was like, no, the Illuminati doesn't exist. I'm like,
that's
not
what they'd say.
I know, that's exactly what you they'd say. Yeah, so it was hilarious.
But in the Young Pope there's a statue of there's a kind of like a Sheila na Gigs style statue in the Pope's office that they mentioned was came from Africa or one of the missionaries. But he ends up the priest in the Vatican who takes all the confessions. He manages to like, hey, tell me all the things the other people are saying because I'm the Pope. And he's like, oh, well, you know, Cardinal whatever has immoral thoughts about this statue. So then anytime he's in with the young Pope and he looks over at the statue, he's like, hey, I know what you're thinking. Stop looking at that statue. It's just this little like.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that it's like the Vatican's just so gossipy.
Do you think maybe that the Sheila na Gigs were like, okay, bold pagans.
Yeah.
But look, we'll put them in the church anyway and we'll be like, bold, don't be looking at this. But then the priests can just, you know, sort themselves out afterwards.
Probably.
I mean, they could have just been like, just put it in inside.
I mean, if we're going to speculate about the church, like...
That's a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to find more of these around Ireland.
And it's funny that it's one of those things, like the first time I heard about it was like a few weeks ago, and then you messaged me and you were like, have you ever heard of Sheila na Gig? And I was like, it only had just entered my consciousness.
Right.
And like everybody I ask about, I'm like, have you ever heard of a Sheila na Gig? And like the vast majority of people are like, no. So I wonder like how it kind of like slipped through the cracks of like pop culture, and like it's only now, why do you think it's just becoming more popular now?
I don't know. My friend Owen told me about them last year when I was, no, it was before. And this is the thing. I was trying to remember why I know them, and I just remember my friend Owen telling me about them. No, like I can't remember the line or two before him telling me. Like I don't know what brought it up. I don't know if I was like, hey man, you know Gargoyles is on Netflix? I don't know if I was just talking about the stupid inane shit that I'd talk about.
And like Gargoyles, like the cartoon?
Yeah. With Keith David. But there's a difference, obviously, between a Gargoyle and a Grotesque. I think it's
is there?
There is, yeah. Gargoyle is one that's... It has to do with whether or not it is a decorative piece or if it is... one that allows water to flow off the roof.
Okay.
There is a...
So would a gargoyle let water off the roof, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I think... Yes, so a gargoyle is a specific kind of grotesque with a spout designed to convey water from a roof and away off the side of a building. So a gargoyle is one that the water comes out of.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah. But I feel like there was a missed opportunity not to incorporate Sheila na Gig as gargoyles because...
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yes.
Right? And people could stand underneath and get blessed. That's how baptism should be done.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Right? I think it's a hugely missed opportunity.
Dear Catholic Church, we want you to do this now.
Just dear architecture... people, architects around the world, moving forward, all building. Like, I want to see an episode of Grand Designs where Kevin McLeod just rocks up and someone's like, yeah, over this door, we're going to put a giant Sheila na Gig. He's like, what? It's a lady pulling her vagina apart.
Has character.
It's going to be both functional and a water feature, and it's going to keep evil away from the house.
There
so it's
go.
Also our security system. And it's just, oh, it'd be so good. It seems like it nearly seems.
What do you think
obvious.
Kevin McLeod would say about that? Because you know how he has like his little monologue at the end where he like talks either shit about the house or he raves about the house. What do you think Kevin McLeod would say about the Sheila na Gig gargoyle spout?
I think he would praise its innovativeness. Yeah, innovation. But he'd then criticize it for the cost. Like, oh, we had to... I mean, yeah, while it looks pretty and it's functional, we had to travel back to the pre-Christian era of Ireland to get this. So, I mean, the cost in time travel, like he'd...
The cost in time travel.
Time traveling.
Not that, you know, you could find one nowadays. Oh, yeah, I guess you could.
Yeah, but you got to go back to the original, because that's what everyone on Grand Designs like. Oh, well, this door was actually the original. You're like, just buy a new door, weather it. Like, stop.
Shabby chic.
Your kids aren't going to college because of this door. Like, I think be okay with it.
This door was a third of the cost of the whole fucking house. That always really got me when there would be like a couple who was like really stuck on one element of the house that just had to be a certain way, and it ended up being shit and like costing loads of money.
Oh, me, my housemate Donna and him, we were watching it. We're always just like, "You've got small kids. You've got stop." Like,
and there's another one on the way.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, I know you want this fancy roof, but you've already admitted you could get this other slightly less fancy roof for 30 grand less, but you got your heart set on it. You're like...
You wanted the local slate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, your kids aren't going to go to college now, or... Yeah. I'm after just finding that... Oh, no, it's missing. Never mind. I got real excited. So, as a list of the Sheila na Gigs around Ireland, there was one like, oh, in the Clare Island Abbey. I go to Clare Island every summer. I have done it for the past 20 years, so I know it super well. So I was like, holy shit, there's one there and I didn't know about it.
Cool.
But seemingly it's a
I guess there's loads in Kilkenny. It was interesting.
Kilkenny's mostly just churches.
That they're found in a lot of like Norman, like Anglo Norman area churches. But there's only one in Wexford, and Wexford was like a Norman stronghold.
There's only one there.
There's only one there, apparently.
And
I think it was even taken out of the church to like be put on display, like in a museum or something. Like, I think its status is like technically like missing.
Yeah, this one is condition missing. Yeah. The gable wall of the church. I'm going to look for that when I'm over next.
Yeah, apparently there is... Sorry, I'm like obsessed with Wexford because like that's where my boyfriend's from.
Okay.
And I love it. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So the one down there is now in the National Museum in Dublin. So we can go have a look at it and we don't have to travel all the way to Kilmaquee.
Here's one that seems supposed to be in Wexford.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at. Yeah. So that one's in the museum up the road.
Oh, Kilmaquee. There we go. Yeah. Yeah, I think it'd be really interesting. I wonder how many of them are on gravestones that people aren't aware of. Because, like, you see graveyards all over the country that are, like, 200-300 years old.
Yeah.
And just through weathering, the headstone is just smooth, or you can't really make out night.
Yeah.
I wonder if people...
Oh, that would be, like, a really fun day out. Just go out to, like, loads of graveyards.
Just
and, like...
doing, like, etchings.
Yeah.
Oh, not here. Just another loving father. We should put Sheila Giggs, right? We should put Sheila Giggs over... maternity hospital entrances.
Oh my god. With like a baby Sheila Nagig coming out of the original Sheila.
Don't say baby Sheila Nagig because then that's a baby doing it.
Okay, point taken. Yeah.
Go now.
Babies having babies. But she does kind of look like very like she's bald.
She never has hair. Yeah.
She never has hair and like
cherubesque.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no secondary sexual characteristics.
No, you know, just
there's no
the,
like
just
formed
the
breasts.
Vulva.
There's no pubic hair.
Maybe that's what they were trying to tell people. Is like if you have
these sexy babies.
If you have like too much sex, you will you will start to you'll get Benjamin Button disease.
But your vagina will stay the same size.
Yeah. But you know how like like since the fucking dawn of time or since the dawn of like fucking feminism, like people have like pushed back against feminism and they're like, you know, if you are a feminist, you'll be ugly and no man will want you.
Yeah.
Maybe that was kind of their gig.
Hey.
Where they're saying like if you have too much sex or if you have like any sex, like no one will want you because your vulva will be like all like splayed open and
splayed as
it'll be
word.
Like throwing a hot dog down O'Connell Street.
Great.
Yep.
Yeah, I kind of really just want to go out and find loads now.
We can go like the National Museum's up the road. We can just go over there now.
Oh yeah, that's not as exciting if it's like oh they're all in one place. There's less adventure. Yeah, I want to know. I just would like to know why that. If people reckon that oh these were brought from Spain, France up, at what point were people like, man, I am sick of carving and cock and balls. Like I am just no more of that. Like where the like,
I suppose a vulva would be easier to carve because it's just a very basic shape.
Just can you dig into the same bit a few times? But like if there was a map plotting Sheila na Giggs across Europe, and if you went really disgustingly binary color coding system with like say pink and blue, just been like,
bleah.
Yeah, I know. All right, and it just so if it was like a male Sheila na Giggs or female Sheila na Giggs, and just see where the fade was, like where the male one stopped cropping up.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, because then so you'd be like, oh well. Maybe whoever looked after that land or like that landowner or whatever bishop it was like, bah. He was insecure about his penis. So he was like, I don't want all these little stone carvings being bigger than me. So no more. Or if it was just these are making fun of men. Nobody's out making fun of men.
Like, where culturally did it end?
Yes. Yeah. Just because with Ireland being mostly, or like all women, Sheila gigs, it would have traveled up across Europe, because Ireland being out the edge of Europe always got stuff last.
Mm.
So just like where the point of it being coming purely female rather than male or bestial, where that would have faded off. Just out of curiosity, would have been like, oh.
I would love for Sheila and Giggs to like make a modern comeback. Like I would love for people just to, like, you know, not supporting vandalism or anything, but like people should go around and carve like Sheila and Giggs into things. Like the Foss guys.
Yeah. Well, you know what? As you said, right? People are all cock and balls everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And it's never not funny. I know it's immature. It's always funny. Yeah? It's just a real like nostalgia to being a child. I'm like, oh, that's hilarious. But drawing like a vagina, way easier. Like
way easier.
Why is that?
But I suppose like drawing a Sheila and a gig, you have to draw like the whole like person.
I tried to draw one. It's in my notebook. I tried to draw one yesterday while sitting in Clementon Pico. I had like a page open on my tablet of like Sheila and a gigs, and then I hear drawing one. I'm like, well, I can never come back here because. Because there is, it does seem to be a phenomenon across the world under different names and guises and for different reasons, but it all seems to be originating from a worshipping or the deification of the female sexual organs, which I think is baller, probably a better word to use, but I think that's class.
Yeah. So maybe if like the feminist movement like co-opted it for modern day, that would be so deadly.
Yeah, it'd be so good.
Let's make that happen. Come on, repeal the eighth campaign.
Yeah, more. more Sheila.
Oh my god, that'll be my next protest poster.
Sheila and a gig.
Just like a giant Sheila and a gig. Yeah.
We should get right. Okay, here's what we do. We clear our schedule for the next few months. Right. We just like. Okay, year 12 months. We're going to need 12 months, and you know, in like the Paddy's Day parade, there's always like the cool like Celtic like characters, but it's always like one person's got a stick that controls an arm and there's another like it takes like a team of 6 or 7 people.
Yeah,
we just make a Sheila and a gig out of that, and we walk up O'Connell Street and we sort of like and then someone's got like the vagina on sticks, so then it opens up.
Oh my god, this is the best idea ever. Okay, St. Patrick's Day Festival.
And then we can have some sort of statement about what comes out.
Water, clearly. The water of life.
Yeah. And we get to shoot the crowd. Perfect. Crowd makes it.
With water guns. Yeah. Just have like 3 or 4 people come out and like shoot the crowd with water guns.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great idea. Okay, St. Patrick's Day Festival in Fáilte, Ireland. We're going to need some funding. Davey and I need to take time off to make this happen. Thank you for your support.
Yeah.
And on that note, I think we should wrap it up. We look forward to seeing you at next year's St. Patrick's Day Festival.
We'll be the ones getting arrested.
Yep.
We could go around eating small children. We could like, consume people.
Rah.
Yeah. Perfect. Cool.
On that note, Davey Riley, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
This episode of Our Sexual History was produced today by Alan Bennett. Our music is created by Shane O'Sullivan, and Sheena Flynn did our artwork. If you enjoyed this podcast, do us and yourself a favor by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. That way, you'll never miss an episode. And while you're at it, have a listen to some of our other great podcasts in the Headstuff family. I'm on a recent episode of the Allison Spittle Show, and we had the most ridiculous conversation about bog oak and why cows make me feel like I'm a failure. I think you'll love it. Finally, as we're in the second season of Our Sexual History, we're looking for sponsors. If you'd like your company to feature alongside fun, informative, dirty talk, please get in touch with us at sexhistory@headstuff.org.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.